I wanted to address the energy of returning to quote unquote back to normal. So things are reopening. We're in phases of reopen, whether we like it or not. I personally have seen how disproportionately Black and Brown folks have been impacted by COVID-19. And so I understand why we are reopening, because if predominantly Black and Brown folks are being impacted by COVID-19, then all those who do not fit in those categories, who happen to have more of the wealth, may see this as an opportunity to push forward once again at the detriment of our health, our safety, our wellness, us as Black people. So with that being said, because it is inevitable that we do reopen, I did want to address Black patronage in the city moving forward post COVID-19 reopening and Black business in the city reopening or continuing to run post COVID-19 reopening. Black patronage in the city is interesting because it doesn't seem like we own much, particularly the more downtown you go, the less it seems that we as Black people own for social gatherings or dine-in situations or bars or lounges or community spaces or co-working spaces or multi-purpose event spaces. You catch my drift. So because it doesn't seem like, and maybe we do, but maybe I just don't know, and hopefully me speaking on this will clarify these answers for me. But based on that, I want us all as Black patrons with the power, remember, the world is screaming Black Lives Matter, Black patrons with the power to think very carefully about where they want to spend their time post COVID-19 reopening. How strategic we can be with moving forward once things reopen. I think it will be interesting to see who is really about this boycott life, because I've been hearing names. EFS, what else? I've been hearing Warehouse, all of the downtown Queen West establishments. I can't even think of them at the top of my head because I don't frequent them, unfortunately, but you know, we have, what is that other Cactus Club? We have, what is that other one? There's the one with the fucking, it's downtown, it's on King Street, blah, blah, blah. All of those establishments that, you know, posted the Blackout Tuesday post or posted their Black Lives Matter posts and are being dragged because either the owner is racist or anti-Black, or the management or the bouncers are being informed to discriminate, or the wait staff or server staff is being told to discriminate. I want to make sure that we remember, we as Black people remember the names and faces of these establishments that have proven, that have given us proof, either through being exposed or dragged. And I would hope that we take that information and we actually boycott these places, because we actually have the power. We actually do. We have to believe that we do. And we have to believe that it is a we and not an us individually. But we do have the power. And so if we want to say, Black people, we're not going back to warehouse for their cheap food and expensive drinks. Their cheap food that will probably give you food poisoning, because what good is food that cheap? If we all say we're not going back to warehouse, that's a Babylon thing. And we find someplace else. We make someplace else. Because we can. You know how impactful that would be? You know how the downtown core that thrives off of its faux inclusion of Blackness? You know what the power that we would hold over that? The coordinated power, the collective power that we could hold over these establishments that say BLM, Blackout Tuesday, then go back to posting non-Black and ambiguous folks on their pages to sell clothes to us. Excuse me. Or establishments that have, urban marketing. And, you know, marketing that speaks very specifically to a particular person, aka Black people, that they tote as this universal acceptance of everyone. When really it's, we just want your culture, bitch. We just want your culture for clout. And if you're a stupid Black person enough to believe that you can be the gatekeeper and represent all of Black people, we want you too, because we know you'll exploit the rest of your people. We know you're stupid enough to exploit the rest of your people. Oop. What a shame. People, we have the power. We've always had it. And so I want us to really be mindful. I really want, like, we have been organized. I've seen people organizing online. I've seen people, you know, with influence speaking on things. And I've seen, because they have influence, people engaging and interacting with them. So I really, really hope that this message touches someone with enough influence, or someone's with enough influences, collective influences, to pass on this message, so that in our front of mind, when we are dressed to the, ooh, Black people, first of all, I'm so excited to see us step out in the city when it's time. But I don't want it to be at the cost of our lives, because we know we have been itching to step out for me personally. Seeing other Black people in the summer is like, it's heaven. Celebrating with Black people under the sun is heaven. So I know we are itching to step out, itching to flex, itching. Bitch, me too. Okay, I get it, but the sun will always be shining for us. We could get together in a park and it would still be lit. So we really have to be mindful of where we're stepping and who's getting our dollars after this. Because I, for one, will call out any people that I see saying one thing and doing another, because I'm tired of seeing it. I'm tired of seeing it. So that is my responsibility, to call that shit out. It's my response. I'm making it my responsibility. Who says it's my responsibility? I don't know. But because I don't want to go the lane of, you know, convincing people to do what I do. Actually, that's a lie. Because I'm here right now. But I'm not trying to convince people to do what I do. I'm trying to convince people to do what they want. And the only way to know what you actually want to do is to know who you are. Know yourself. Back to square one. I'm going to be asking that question a lot, because I have to ask myself that so many times. In the face of adversity, I have to first remember who I am. In the face of success, I have to first remember who I am. In the face of challenge, I have to first remember who I am, or else I won't be able to move forward in a way that will benefit me overall. When I say all that to say that I can't wait for us to step out and enjoy. And I really hope that if during this time you've seen a business that you patronized or people that you know and love patronize that are not here for Black people and it makes you feel some type of way, I hope that you personally find ways that you are comfortable resisting. And that you pass the message on to your loved ones and the information on to your loved ones and encourage them to find ways to resist. I understand that resistance looks different for all of us. Activation looks different for all of us. But I also know how important it is to have this conversation. And if this tool is being used as a conversation starter somewhere, bless. Because that's one more conversation that we are having about this. And now I'm going to switch it over to Black businesses, Black entrepreneurs. Firstly, I hope that the pivoting that had to be done during COVID-19 did not break you down as a business owner, as an entrepreneur. I want to say thank you for pushing through. Thank you for making it here. That actually is a message for all of us. Thank you for making it to the now. Because that's all you. You did that. But this time for me as someone who is an entrepreneur and is Black has been very clarifying as to who I wish to serve, who I wish to benefit, how I wish to move forward. Black business post COVID-19. I pray for collective enhancements. So what I mean by that is, frankly, it's not enough that you are a Black business. It's not enough that you are a Black person selling things or selling a product or selling a service. We need quality control in a way that is accessible to all of us. Because I do know that quality is often tied to access. The more access to things you have, the higher the quality of your output could potentially be. And what I want to encourage all of my Black business owners, Black entrepreneurs to do is to think about the quality of the output, to think about who they are as business people and who their audience is, because just because you're a Black business person doesn't mean that you only have to sell to Black people. That's another thing. Obviously, we know this. But I do feel as though if you have a business that could potentially benefit you as a Black person, I see nothing wrong with you turning around and allowing that abundance to help other Black people in some way. I'm not saying give them money. But if you're an entrepreneur that offers particular services at a particular rate, then thinking about what you can do for someone in your community who may not have access to that. Perhaps we can barter. Perhaps you have something that I need. that we can barter. So all of a sudden, this videographer and this clothing designer have come together mutually in a mutually beneficial manner. The clothing designer now has video and photo content of their items. The videographer now has added materials for their portfolio. They both have testimonials at the quality level of service that they have both provided for one another, that they can both use to leverage gaining more clientele. Do you see what I'm saying? My message will always be a collective one. So perhaps for Black business people, what I'm trying to say is think collective. I'm not saying give away your money. Keep your money if you want it. But think about how you and someone else, because it's not a, I'm not saying go out on a limb for a stranger. If you are a Black person, I have a group of friends around me that are so talented and creative. And I know that that is not only me, because those friends have friends, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not saying do all of this with a random stranger. I'm saying do this with someone that you know, you run with, you love, you trust. Because if you can't do it with them, why the fuck are they around you? Are they your friend? That's a whole other conversation, but that's something to think about. If you feel some type of way hearing this message about collective building as it pertains to building collectively with your friends, if you feel some type of way about that, evaluate your friends. But we're not talking about that right now. Collective building. How can you grow? How can you let your homie that sells clothes grow at the same time, and your girl that's an artist grow at the same time? We have the power. We have the power. We can do it. And my final question is, where are all the Black venture capitalists? Where are all the wealthy Black people with money incubating startup programs, startup business programs for Black business owners? Where are they? Where are the Canadian people with money that have the capital to invest in and incubate small business ideas? Where the fuck are they? Where have they disappeared to? We have rich Black people in Canada. Where are they? How wealthy, well-connected people, because it's not just about the capital. All of these people who have been uplifted by the community, who have now found success, how are they giving back to make sure that that wasn't just a one-off? And if they are not giving back because they want it to be a one-off, what are you doing supporting them? What do you get out of supporting them? Just as there is a Shark Tank, and we know that those three, four people on the panel are not the only millionaires and billionaires and capitalists that have capital to, you know, play with. Capital, enough capital to invest in entire extra businesses. That's how much capital they have. We know that there's more of them. But we don't even... I have never heard of that here. And I wonder why. Where are you guys? Reveal yourselves. There are so many ideas in the city that I have come across that are brilliant. So many people that I have come across that are brilliant and in need of support, who, by the grace of God and community, are still bumping and making do with mostly nothing. Y'all, it's a journey. It's a journey that we have to take together. It's a journey that I'm willing to take with others. But it's definitely a journey, because all of these questions, all of this processing, all of this unpacking, all of this, the revolution will take time. The the revolution will take time, and I'm glad that I'm asking the questions. I'm glad that I'm asking the questions, and I'm not saying that I'm asking these questions for the first time, but I'm glad that there is, for the record, these questions being asked so that in the history books, they don't say, oh, black people were okay with the mistreatment. Nah, at least one person was asking the questions to her community to allow us to think about how we are being treated and how we can move forward. So circling back, reopening phase two is happening here in Toronto. Reopening is happening across the world. And black people, first and foremost, be well and stay safe, because we are disproportionately impacted by this. Remember that you have the power in where you decide to patronize after this. Black businesses, you being black is not enough. Let's focus on how we can improve quality collectively, how we can grow, level up collectively, because I'm sure we've learned a lot of things during this time. I'm sure a lot of us, a handful of us perhaps, have lost our work. Excuse me, and we're forced to either be alone or be alone in our home spaces and to reflect on what the fuck. So I know that there's a lot of good shit, good ideas, great energy that is waiting to go out in the world. The white man doesn't deserve it. And there's a lot of white people in Toronto. So we gotta be picky and choosy. We gotta be picky and choosy. Black business, barter. Barter your services. Make sure that you hold fast in your pricing for the white person. But if there's a black person hitting you up and they're like, let me not even go down that road. Because I just talked about it. Black venture capitalists, where are you? Congratulations, you're wealthy. Congratulations, despite all odds, you're wealthy, you have access, you are comfortable. Cousin Riri told y'all to pull up. We reposted, we applauded, we clapped. We hashtagged. Do we pull up for ourselves, for each other? As always, thank you for listening. I love you. As always, there's ways to connect. All of the clickable, linkables, thingables. And these episodes will be transcribed. The transcriptions can be found on my website, 29and.card.co. The spelling and the clicks, the linkies are all in the descriptions or the bios or wherever SoundCloud puts these things. But yeah, peace.